Om sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavirnyan karavavahai, tejasvinavadhitamastu mavitvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om. Good. Welcome back to our weekly Bhagavad Gita class. We continue our study in Chapter 2, and we take up in earnest the topic of Karma Yoga starting with today's class. We'll begin with some recitation, as always, beginning with verse 44. Please glance at the translation as I'm chanting, and then repeat after me.
Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, tayapahrita chetasam, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, samadhau na vidhiyate, samadhau na vidhiyate. Traigunya vishaya veda, traigunya vishaya veda, nistraigunyo bhavarjuna, nistraigunyo bhavarjuna, nirdvandvo nitya sattvasto, nirdvandvo nitya sattvasto, niryoga kshemahatmavan, Nir-yoga-kshema-hatma-van Yavan-hartahura-pane Yavan-hartahura-pane Sarvata-sam-pluto-dake Sarvata-sam-pluto-dake Tan-sarveshu-vedeshu Tavan-sarveshu-vedeshu Brahmanasya vijanataha, Brahmanasya vijanataha, karmanyevadhikaraste, karmanyevadhikaraste, maphaleshukadachana, maphaleshukadachana, ma karma phalahetur ma karma phalahetur bhur ma te sangostva karmani ma te sangostva karmani yogastah kuru karmani yogastah kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya sangam tyaktva Svadhananjaya Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva Siddhya Siddhyo Samo Bhutva Samatvam Yoga Huchyate Samatvam Yoga Huchyate Dure Nahyavaram Karma Dure Nahyavaram Karma Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya, Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya, Buddhau Sharanaman Vicha, Buddhau Sharanaman Vicha, Kripana Palahetavaha, Kripana Palahetavaha, Buddhi Yukto Jahatiha, Buddhi Yukto Jahatiha, Ube sukrata duskrate, ube sukrata duskrate, tasmad yogaya yajasva, tasmad yogaya yajasva, yoga karma sukaushalam, yoga karma sukaushalam. That's a good place to conclude our chanting.
We'll return. We came right up to and didn't begin. Oops, verse 40. Went too far, sorry. Let me get back here. Sorry, there we go. So the Sri Krishna has been introducing Karma Yoga in the last several verses, and he made it very clear that Karma Yoga is not the performance of rituals. As we discussed, the word karma in ancient times meant Vaidika karma, Vedic rituals. So Sri Krishna wants to make it very clear, Karma Yoga is not the performance of Vedic rituals. In fact, as you saw, he is quite critical about an overemphasis on the performance of rituals. Then we also discussed how Karma Yoga is not merely doing your duties. I don't know how people got that idea. Merely doing your duties is like the minimum requirement to be a good person. It doesn't make you a sadhaka, a spiritual aspirant. Also, as you know, many people do their duties and go on complaining all the time. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got so much to do. I've got no time. Well, to do your duties with that attitude is certainly not Karma Yoga. In fact, as we discussed before and as we're going to see today, Karma Yoga is not what you do. Karma Yoga is the attitude with which you do whatever it is you do. And that attitude in particular is meant to transform your ordinary activities into a spiritual practice. That really is so simply what Karma Yoga is. Karma Yoga is a set of attitudes, not just one, there are several. Karma Yoga is a set of attitudes which you can adopt and thereby transform your ordinary day-to-day activities into a kind of spiritual practice. And note that our ordinary day-to-day activities are driven by raga and dvesha, as we discussed before. Raga is literally, they translate it as passion or desire, but it is a drive, the definition we've used here, a compulsion. That's a very nice word. Raga is a compulsion to chase after anything that you think will give you pleasure. Dvesha is also a compulsion to run away anything that you think might deprive you of pleasure or cause you suffering. Our conventional day-to-day activities are driven by raga and dvesha, these two compulsions, to go towards something, to run away from something. So Karma Yoga, in the most basic understanding, is a set of attitudes through which you remove that compulsivity of raga and dvesha, which motivate actions, and replace it with a whole new set of attitudes and motivations, which we're going to see in the next few verses. So let us begin with, already on the screen, the most widely quoted verse in the Bhagavad Gita is perhaps this one, and it also happens to be the most widely mistranslated verse, which we'll discuss in just a moment. Karmanyevadikaraste, karmanyevadikaraste, ma phaleshu kadachana, ma phaleshu kadachana, ma karma phalahe turbhur, ma karma phalahe turbhur, ma te sangostva karmani, ma te sangostva karmani. Good. We'll see the mistranslation right at the beginning. Karmani eva te adhikaraha. Te, for you. You have adhikaraha, and that's the word that gets mistranslated. Almost always, you see it, not almost always, too often, you'll see it translated as right. Te, you have adhikaraha, a right. Karmani eva, we have to break the words apart. You have a right over karma, actions, eva alone. Ma paleshu, But you have no adhikara, you have no right, pale shukma, no, you have no pale, ma adhikara, you have no right, pale shu, towards the result of your actions, kadachana, at any time. So, or ma kadachana, you never have adhikara, a right to your, to the pala, to the fruits of your actions, to paraphrase the mistranslation, you have a right to your actions, you never have a right to the results of your actions. I've never even understood what that means, to have a right to actions or a right to the results. And the confusion here has to do with the fact that adhikara is a very common word in Hindi. And very often that Hindi meaning is used here. By the way, let me make this comment. I think no knowledge of Hindi, I think, is a great advantage, blessing, in coming to a Sanskrit text like this, because so many Hindi words are derived directly from Sanskrit. So knowledge of Hindi, many of you know Hindi, so knowledge of Hindi is a great benefit most of the time. In a few places where the Hindi meaning is very different from the Sanskrit meaning, you get in trouble. And this is one of the places where you get in trouble, where you were to use the Hindi meaning adhikar. So many, you, like in Hindi movies, you see an actor say, "Ye mera adhikar hai." That's my right. Well, that's fine in a Hindi movie. This is a Bhagavad Gita, and it's in Sanskrit. So let's get the correct meaning. The Sanskrit meaning here, adhikara, it's a little complex. I can't think of a single word, but it means a scope of authority, an area over which you're in charge, you have control. I don't think there's any one English word that has those meanings, but that's a good meaning here. Adhikara is a scope of authority, an area over which you have control. So therefore, with that correct meaning in mind, we can make sense out of this first half. It says, te, Sri Krishna advises Arjuna, te, for you, Arjuna, you have adhikara, you have a scope of authority over what? Karmani eva, over your actions alone. And to simplify it a little bit, to make it clear, you have control over your actions alone. Ma paleshu kadachana, but never at any time do you have control over the results. Now, adhikara doesn't mean control, but in this context, scope of authority, an area over which you have control. So in our paraphrase, we can use that word control. So you have control over your actions. You have no control over the results. That is such a, that's a much more accurate and meaningful translation than to say you have rights over actions, etc., or no rights over your actions. So, that, of course, now we have to understand this a little further. This is a reference, of course, to the doctrine of karma. We kind of sidestepped a detailed explanation of the doctrine of karma, but here, to understand this verse, we have to at least pick up some crucial elements of that doctrine of karma. You have control over your actions. You have no control over the results. So let me illustrate it. Dropping this pen is my karma, my action. And I have control over dropping this pen. I can choose when I drop it. I can drop it now, or I can hold on to it longer. I have control with regard to the action of dropping it. But once I release the pen, Do I have any control over the result of dropping it? You see, my adhikara, my scope of authority, ends when I drop the pen. Once I've dropped the pen, I have no adhikara, I have no control over what happens to the pen whatsoever. Of course, we know, according to the law of gravity, it falls downwards, but I have no control over that. It's not in my hands, it's all due to the force of gravity, the law of gravity. One of several laws that govern the universe, along with the laws of karma. We need to explore this. First of all, this is a big topic. And by the way, this is such an important verse. We may spend the majority of this class on this one verse. This verse deserves that kind of attention. So, look at this. I control dropping the pen. I have control over the action of dropping the pen. I have no control over the results. Who's in control of the results? I'm in control of the action. Then who is in control of the results? Anyway, who is a funny question. You know, it's happening according to the law of gravity. Fine, the law of gravity is whose law? Who established the law of gravity? Whose intelligence, an intelligence infused in the universe that gives order to the universe, whose intelligence is that? You know the answer to that question. Ishvara, God, the creator, sustainer, destroyer of the universe, it is Ishvara's intelligence, Ishvara's intelligent order is a term my guru loved to use. According to Ishvara's intelligent order, the universe functions. And gravity is certainly part of Ishvara's intelligent order. So, in a manner of speaking, we could say that gravity is an expression of Ishvara's intelligence. This is a really important teaching. Think about that just for a moment before we go on. Gravity is a law of nature. Nature is Ishvara's creation, and nature functions according to Ishvara's intelligence. So it is absolutely appropriate to say that the law of gravity is a manifestation of Ishvara's intelligence. With that in mind, in a manner of speaking, we could say that I have control over dropping the pen, and then Ishvara has control over how it falls. You get it now, right? This is what this first half of the verse is talking about. Karmani eva adhikaraha te. Te, you have control over your actions. You have no control over the results because the results are not in your hand. The results are in Ishvara's hands. There's an important expression we use for Ishvara when teaching the nature of Ishvara in Advaita Vedanta. We say that Ishvara is the karma pala data. Karma, you know, karma pala, the results of actions, you know that. Karma pala data, the giver of the fruits of your actions, the giver of the results. So my karma is to drop the pen. The pala is given not by me. The pala is determined or given by Ishvara. So this is, there's another important aspect of this, but before we get into that second aspect, let's just talk about how that orientation, that attitude, the attitude of understanding your limitations. You have no control over the outcome of a situation. You only have control over the action. When I use that expression, outcome, I think about medical doctors. Think about surgeons. A surgeon goes into an operating theater and performs a really complicated, delicate surgery, like the so-called open heart surgery, where they, pardon my language, they fix your plumbing. They take veins out of your legs and replace the clogged arteries around your heart with those veins. It's like a plumbing job, except the what you're working with are so delicate. My mind is boggled by the skill these surgeons must have. Here's the point. Surgeons know very well that every surgery they perform may or may not have a good outcome. Now, the surgeon is highly skilled, tremendously skilled, but even the best surgeon in the planet cannot ensure the desired outcome. I think surgeons are smart enough and humble enough to know that what's in their hands is the details of the plumbing job, if we can call it that. But once they've done their plumbing work, the outcome is no longer in their hands. The doctor may say it depends on the patient's state of health, the patient's ability to recover from the surgery. Of course, the patient's ability to recover from the surgery would be according to the laws of nature, would it not? The patient's ability to heal and recover, these are natural forces, healing and recovery. So therefore, we can definitely say that the surgery is in the surgeon's skillful hands, but the outcome of the surgery is in Ishvara's hands in the form of the laws of nature which enable the patient to heal and recover. You get the idea. Now, this is just the first part of a series of teachings which are meant to change our attitudes towards what we do. And that change of attitude is what karma yoga is all about, as I said. And the goal is to free us from the compulsivity of raga and dvesha. So let us see how this particular teaching can help free us from raga dvesha. We're compelled to chase after what we want. We're compelled to run away from what we don't want. That compulsion is based on a false sense of competence. Now, what do I mean by that? A false sense of competence. False sense of competence means we assume we can get what we want. We assume we can avoid what we don't want. We assume that we are competent to create the desired result. Well, what does this verse say? The verse says that you're not competent. In fact, competent is another, not exactly synonym for adhikara, but a related word. You have competence with regard to your actions, but you have no competence to produce a desired result. But we all labor under the false illusion that we're in charge of our lives. Isn't it so? We think we're in charge of our lives. Of course, all it takes is a sudden illness or a traffic accident or something comes along, and suddenly we get kicked in the pants, as they say in American English, and we get brought to our senses that we're not truly in complete control of our lives. We are in control of our actions. We are not in control of results. Now, this is what Sri Krishna is teaching Arjuna in the first half of the verse, and teaching all of us. Of course, we're like looking over Arjuna's shoulder as Sri Krishna is talking to Arjuna in a chariot. We are receiving the benefit of all those teachings. And here, by recognizing our own limitations, by recognizing that we only can control our actions, by recognizing that we have no control over the result, so we do not have the competency to produce the results we want, this is the first step towards breaking free from that compulsivity. That compulsivity to chase after what we want and run away from what we don't want, raga and dvesha, that compulsivity is based on this false sense of competency. But when we get it, that we're not in control of everything, we're not gods of our lives, that weakens the compulsion. That's one of many steps. One of many teachings associated with karma yoga, one of many attitudes associated with karma yoga, that we are not fully in control of our lives. Of course, closely related to that is, if we're not in complete control, who is? That brings in Ishvara, and that brings in a prayerful attitude towards our actions. Watch how this works. When we're engaged in, well, go back to that surgeon example. I think it's good. When that surgeon goes into the operating theater, the surgeon does the best he or she can do in the operating theater. But then, having done it, he or she recognizes the result is not in his or her hands. And if the surgeon is a Hindu, and by the way, there are so many, especially in the United States, there are so many doctors of Indian origin, including surgeons. So might be that the surgeon is indeed Hindu. That Hindu doctor, leaving the operating theater, may say a prayer. Hey Bhagavan, oh God, I've done the best I can do to help this patient. To help this patient go on living, I've done the best I can do. Now, everything else is in your hands. Because that Hindu doctor would recognize Ishvara is the karma pala data, the giver of the fruits of the results. That attitude introduces a prayerful dimension into everything we do. Suppose these teachings sink in to such an extent that you are constantly alert to the fact that whatever you do, the results are not in your hands, results are in Ishvara's hands. Immediately, that shift of understanding will lead to a prayerful attitude towards whatever you do. You will constantly have the sense that I am doing the best I can, and the rest is in Bhagavan's hands, in God's hands. That prayerful attitude can be present in everything you do. So that doctor may have a prayerful attitude, but wherever you are and whatever you're doing, if you're in a business meeting, you can do the best you can in the meeting, making a presentation. In a business meeting, you make the best presentation you can, then you realize the rest is in God's hands. And you have that sense in your heart that the rest is in God's hands, and you have that prayerful sense. The broadest sense of prayer, by the way, is any time that you connect yourself to Ishvara. Prayer, in the most fundamental sense, is being connected to Ishvara. So here, recognizing Ishvara as the karma paladata, as the giver of the fruits of your actions, that's a connection, that prayerful connection. Well, suppose that prayerful connection is present in every single thing you do. So you give your presentation at work, the results are in Ishvara's hands. You get into your car to drive home, whether or not you reach home or not is in Ishvara's hands. Suppose you thought about that when you started your car. This I'm giving in very concrete, practical terms, what karma yoga is in moment-to-moment life, day-to-day life. When you turn that key, first of all, whether or not your car starts is not in your hands. So when the engine starts, you can say a prayer, oh, thank you, God. When I was a young college student, I had a car that was so old, I never knew when it would start and when it wouldn't. And there were plenty of times it didn't start. Your car is probably in better shape than that. But my point is that the car starts due to laws of nature. Whose laws are those laws of nature? Part of Ishvara's intelligent order. And to have that constant appreciation of Ishvara's intelligent order is one of the crucial aspects of this attitude of karma yoga. So the car starts and you have that sense that this is part of Ishvara's order. Whether or not you reach home, by the way, that's what we have to talk about now. Whether or not you reach home is in Ishvara's order also. Whatever happens is in Ishvara's order, but now we have little bit more complexity here. Getting home, as you understand, you may not reach home if there's an accident. And we're not, I don't think anyone would say, well, actually people would say, here we just have to stop and understand something about the doctrine of karma. Yes, Ishvara is the karma pala data, but that karma pala is of two kinds, and this we have to appreciate. And this is a very important topic and aspect of the doctrine of karma that we have to understand. In fact, Sri Krishna addresses it directly in the last quarter of this verse. We'll see in just a few minutes. Before we go there, let's go back to this pen thing, just to allow me to explain it in some very simple terms. So, when I drop the pen, I make an effort. I'll give you the Sanskrit words in just a moment. So, I drop the pen, I make an effort. Now, is the result due to my effort alone? Or are there other factors involved? And this is where the doctrine of karma comes in. There could be other factors involved. For example, if there were a strong wind blowing and I dropped the pen, it may go the other way. Or, just to make up a bizarre example, suppose as I drop the pen, there's an earthquake. And physically, everything moves to the side, and the pen also moves to the side. Bizarre, I know, but you get the point. Other factors that could interfere. So an earthquake is not so, and wind. Maybe we'll stay with the wind. It's a little bit easier to understand. A strong wind is blowing. Well, wind is natural, right? Part of Ishvara's natural order. So just as gravity is one force acting on a pen, wind is another force acting on the pen. But wind may be a factor we don't anticipate. Gravity we can anticipate. Wind we may not anticipate. Now, there's yet another hidden, hidden factor. In science, they call them hidden variables. And hidden variables are present all the time without us even being aware of it. Let me share with you, my guru loved this example of hidden variables. He gives the example of crossing the street. And he observed that crossing the street due to hidden variables, crossing the street to catch the bus. I have to remember his example. You cross the street to catch the bus. And he said that there are four possible outcomes of that situation based on hidden variables. What are those four possible outcomes? One is you cross the street and you catch the bus. Good. Another is you cross the street and before you get on the bus, it pulls away. Another possibility let me change the order. You cross the street and you catch the bus, option one. You get what you want. Another possibility is, as you cross the street, a friend of yours is in a car. He says, get in, I'll give you a ride. Hey, that's good. So first possibility is you get what you want. Second possibility is you get more than what you want. Third possibility, as I said, you cross the street and a bus pulls away. You get less than what you want. So you can get what you want. You can get more than what you want. You get a ride. You get less than what you want. The bus pulls away. Or you can get the opposite of what you want. What is that? You're halfway across the street. Something happens and you wake up in a hospital bed. The opposite of what you want. This is to demonstrate the fact that there are hidden variables in every situation which prevent us from knowing in advance what will be the outcome. So here I'm giving the example of dropping the pen, and one possible hidden variable could be wind. Now let me give you another very bizarre hidden variable. Suppose yesterday, I can't think of a nice example, and this is not a nice example, but bear with me. Suppose yesterday I did something very hurtful to someone, and that person is extremely hurt, and unfortunately the person is also mentally ill. And suppose today that mentally ill person comes into the ashram, and as I'm about to drop the pen, that mentally ill person shoots me dead. I apologize for the metaphor, but what a clear example of a hidden variable brought about by my own prior action. We're getting into another dimension of the doctrine of karma. My action yesterday of hurting that person emotionally had a delayed consequence. And these delayed consequences we understand as being part of the doctrine of karma. So the point I'm making here is that we perform an action, and the result of the action is based not merely on the laws of nature, but also based on the laws of karma. This is the point. The outcome of any action is partially based on laws of nature and partially based on laws of karma. In both cases, the laws of nature are Ishvara's laws. The laws of karma are Ishvara's laws. So therefore, Ishvara is the karma pala data. Ishvara gives you the result of your actions based on laws of nature and laws of karma. I apologize for the example. I I wish I had come up with a nicer one. That one was unpleasant. Okay. Now there's more here. So after giving in the first half the basic instruction, some further instructions come here to Arjuna. Ma karma pala hetur bhuhu. Ma bhuhu. Don't be. Don't be what? Karma pala hetu. Hetu means cause. And in this case, karma pala hetu means karma pala data, giver. Don't think you are the hetu, the cause for karma pala. Don't think you are the data, the giver of karma pala. Means have the intelligence and humility to know that once you've committed an action, the results are not in your hands. But in conventional life, we talked about the illusion of competency. That illusion of competency is what Sri Krishna is warning against here. Don't think you are the god of your life. You are the master of your life. Yes, you are in control of your actions, your decisions. But that's where your control comes to an end. Have the intelligence and humility to recognize that the results of any and all actions you commit, the results are not in your hands. The results are in Ishvara's hands. And finally, Mate Sangaha Astu Akarmani. And we have to break the words apart here. Te, for you, Arjuna. Ma Astu. Connect those two words. May there not be. Ma Astu. May there not be, for you, Arjuna. May there not be any Sangaha attachment. Attachment to what? Akarmani. May there not be any attachment to inaction. Now, when you read this, the meaning may not come to you very clearly. What does he mean? May Arjuna, don't think that you are the god of your life. Don't think that you are the karma paladatta. Have the intelligence and humility to know that you are the author of your actions. That's a word that's often used. You are the author of your actions. You are not the author of the results. Again, adhikara doesn't mean author, but that word gives you the right sense. You are the author of your actions. You are not the author of the results. But then he concludes by saying, "Oh, also, Arjuna, don't be attached to inaction. Don't be drawn into passivity." And now we have to understand, why is Sri Krishna saying that? He's saying that because of a common misunderstanding of the doctrine of karma. And that common misunderstanding is that whatever is going to happen is in Ishvara's hands. So if whatever is going to happen is in Ishvara's hands, then it doesn't make any difference what I do. If I do anything at all, why should I do, and I'm explaining the misinterpretation, why should I do anything? It's all in Ishvara's hands. It doesn't make any difference what I do or I don't do. So I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to remain passive and let everything rest in Ishvara's hands. This is the misinterpretation of the doctrine of karma that Sri Krishna wants to warn Arjuna and all of us against. Look at this. If I drop the pen, there's a result according to both the laws of nature and the laws of karma, both of which are Ishvara's laws. But suppose I decide, well, why should I even bother dropping the pen? Because whatever is going to happen is in Ishvara's hands. Well, if I don't drop the pen, nothing happens. Yeah. Now, what I'm pointing out is there are two different factors involved here. One factor is my effort in making an action. The other factor comes from Ishvara in the forms of the law of nature and the law of karma. And this is what we didn't discuss earlier about the law of karma, and this is what we have to discuss right now. Let me go to the board. I can explain it a little bit more nicely. Good. So, the outcome of dropping the pen is partially due to me, I have to drop the pen, and partially due to Ishvara's laws. Just like for the surgeon, the outcome of the surgery is partially due to the surgeon. If the surgeon is not skillful or not properly trained, there's not going to be a good outcome at all. So the outcome of the surgery is partially in the surgeon's hands and partially in Ishvara's hands. Two factors. One factor that's in our hands, one factor that's in Ishvara's hands. The words that are commonly used for these two factors are prayatna, effort, and daiva. Now, daiva is hard. Is that showing up? Yeah. Daiva is a little hard to translate in English. It means that which comes from deva, that which comes from God. And I can't think of a single word to describe that. So effort, so we'll call it the divine factor. So there's a human factor, effort. There's a human factor, which is this effort, prayatna, and there's a divine factor that's Ishvara's presence in the form of the laws of nature and the laws of karma. And the outcome is the result of both of these factors together. Both are always present in every single situation. And let me share with you one of my favorite metaphors that are used to describe how these two factors conspire together to give the result of an action. Suppose you come to a stream. You're standing on the end of a stream bed where the current is flowing from top to bottom. That's the current. And you want to swim to the other side of the stream, river. Let's call it a river. So you jump in the river and you start swimming in the direction of your destination towards the other side. But because of the current, you know very well you won't go straight across the river. You know that you will go diagonally. By the way, those of you who had some math background, remember something called vector addition or dot product? That's what this is in mathematical terms. And what it shows is how the result is due to two factors. One factor is your effort in swimming, prayatna. The other is due to the force of the current, which represents daiva, one of those hidden variables. A hidden variable because when you're standing on the shore, you can't tell how strong the current is. So the current is hidden. The water you can see. Current you can't necessarily see. But notice, the outcome is the result of both. Look what Sri Krishna said here. He said, Ma te sangaha astu akarmani, don't be attached to an action. Suppose, and what he's warning against, is you're standing on the side of the river, and you said, oh, there's a current. Current means I'm not in control of where I'm going to end up. And therefore you decide, well, why bother trying? Why should I even try to reach my destination? Why don't I just sit here inactive? And that's the mistake. You already know, just for fun, is it possible with the current to reach your destination? Of course. There are several ways to do it. One way is if the current brings you down here, walk up. What's the problem? You can certainly reach your destination. Or if you're really smart, you know what you'll do, of course, is you'll swim in this direction. And by swimming diagonally upwards like this, you'll compensate for the current and you'll end up exactly at your goal. Notice here, the fact that there's a current in the river doesn't prevent you from reaching your goal. But you have to account for that factor and make adjustments accordingly. Here's the doctrine of karma. So, doctrine of karma means the outcome of the situation is the result of your effort, prayatna, plus hidden variables, which could include laws of nature, which could include laws of karma. But whatever those are, you are able to make adjustments and reach your goal. You are not helpless. You know, in the worst case, imagine someone who jumps in a river, senses the current, and says, oh no, I didn't know there was a current. I'm doomed. I'm lost. And a person fails to make any effort to swim whatsoever. This helplessness. This is what Sri Krishna is warning against. So with that attitude of helplessness, what will happen to the person? Well, if they don't swim, the current will carry them straight down. By the way, there's a waterfall, rocks, right there. The person will get destroyed if they fail to make any effort to swim. So Sri Krishna says, don't be passive. Don't imagine yourself to be helpless. You are not helpless. Yes, there are hidden variables. There are forces of nature and forces of karma that we can't anticipate. But when we sense the forces of karma and when you're in the water, you feel the force of the current. Feeling the force of the current then allows you to adapt and adjust. In the same way in life, if we're intelligent, we can learn to sense the force of karma in our lives. Let me sit down and we'll finish this topic. Okay. There's so much more we can talk about in this metaphor of being in a river. For example, this prayer, this idea of prayer. Just allow me to bring this in, and this also will explain that prayerful dimension of karma yoga. Suppose you jump in a river, and you feel the force of the current. And you get panicky, and you're not sure what to do. You're not sure what direction to swim. Well, wouldn't it be helpful to take a few moments just to relax, compose yourself, allow yourself to float with the current just for a few moments until you determine its strength and direction, and then you can respond so much better to the current in that river. In the same way in life, when something unexpected happens, I mentioned before a health crisis or an automobile accident, when something unexpected happens, too often we respond with anxiety and confusion. And that anxiety and confusion prevents us from thinking clearly and acting appropriately. Wouldn't it be helpful to have a few moments of prayerful reflection if there's a health crisis or an accident, to understand that the outcome of this situation was not in my hands in the first place? The outcome of this situation was due, well, in the case of a health crisis or an automobile accident, we'll say forces of karma. Some bad karma from earlier in this life or from a past life, that bad karma is bearing fruit now in this situation, bringing about this health crisis, bringing about this automobile accident, completely unanticipated, but occurring according to Ishvara's intelligent order. Health crises are part of Ishvara's intelligent order. Automobile accidents are part of Ishvara's intelligent order. All of this occurs according to Ishvara's intelligence. Suppose after the health crisis or accident, suppose we can compose ourselves and reflect on the fact that whatever is unfolding, whatever is happening, it's all in Ishvara's hand. With that reflection, instead of being driven by anxiety and confusion, with that reflection, you'd probably find yourself a little bit composed and focused and not so anxious. And with that moment of reflection, you'd be able to choose a much healthier response to the situation. So instead of responding in a state of panic and confusion, you can respond with composure and clarity. We've just begun. There's so much more to discuss, both about the doctrine of karma, but even more so about the practice of karma yoga. We'll see more in our next class. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritangamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om.